Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome all to the FSHD Society Radio Show. This is Hot Off the Press episode for you. We come at you hard and quick with what's going on in the FSHD community, FSHD Society world. Big news was launched very, very recently about Fulcrum, about the trial being, the enrollment being full. It's a huge milestone. And of course, FSHD Society reaches out to Mel Hayes to let us know, you know, what is really going on with that great news. We can dive a little bit, you know, deep into it. So we welcome from Fulcrum, the chief operating officer at Fulcrum Therapeutics, Mel Hayes. Did I get that right, Mel? That's just a lot of work there to use.
Oh, fantastic, Tim. Excellent.
So welcome again. Yeah, you know, and the invitation to my house for Thanksgiving is on its way. Because we've seen each other so much, I think, recently, you might as well. Yeah. So anyhow, yeah. So thanks for being here again, sharing this great news. This is like a milestone a lot of us have been waiting for. You know, the call was going out to everybody, you know, try to get involved in the trials and this and this. So, you know, what is that significance of like having this REACH trial at its full enrollment and ready to go? Like, what is that? What does that mean now?
Yeah, Tim, first of all, again, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure and honor to be here with you and to speak to the community. For us, it's a major milestone. We're just so excited. I mean, REACH in and of itself is the first phase 3 clinical trial in FSHD. So with that comes a lot of responsibility. And if you go back to the first patient in, which is the end of Q2 of last year, now we've reached that last patient in to the trial, it marks a critical milestone for us, meaning that now the countdown begins. I think Mark Stone said it perfectly. This is when patients in the community start to pay attention, because the countdown between now and that last patient out starts. So for us, it's exciting. It's a 48-week trial period, so we have another 48 weeks and for the trial to complete. But then, of course, we have to do some data cleanup. But we're excited about the fact that by the end of next year, we're going to have some top-line data. And that's obviously a big milestone for the community. We're anticipating success. We powered the study very well, but you never know in drug development, things can happen. But we're super excited about where we are right now, having that last patient come in, and now we're in a position of seeing the rest of the patients go through their full 48 weeks, getting the data, and putting ourselves in a position to share that data by the end of next year is really, really exciting.
And then when you start approaching those milestones, what happens next? I mean, this is obviously a huge one. You're talking about later in, what, 2024? And we're looking at some real data there. Does that mean that things will be shared about where you are with it? What's kind of the next milestones as we go into the last quarter here of 2023 into the first quarter of 2024 and so forth?
Yeah, right now, between now and, let's say, Q3 of next year, it's really all about study execution, making sure patients are showing up, doing all the necessary lab work, and just ensuring that the study processes and protocols are adhered to. That's critical for us now, between now and next year. At the end of next year, to your point, yes, we look to be able to share top-line data in the Q4 timeframe, which will be out to the public, so everyone will have a chance to kind of see how the trial did. Big milestone for us, for our shareholders, for just the community at large. It's a really exciting time. And then once we've done that, assuming the data is in the affirmative or in a positive direction, we then engage the FDA. And the next big milestone is obviously submitting an NDA, new drug application, to the FDA. And that's when the clock gets even more exciting, because then it's a matter of an NDA going through the regulatory process and hopefully we get a PDUFA date. And a PDUFA date essentially means that's when the product will be offered and available to the community.
Wow. Yeah. What do you think that date is? Because, you know, someone's just thinking that right now.
It's hard to tell, Tim. Data determines that, you know, once you submit your package to them, your NDA, it's at their discretion as to how long they take. They typically try to, you know, have it done within 10 to 12 months. So it really depends. But with our efforts right now is the first thing is to get this last patient through the trial, clean up the data, get the top line data out there, and then submit that NDA sometime in 25. And then from there, wait until we get the PDUFA date. And then hopefully that'll be clarified to us. And we can obviously at that point go forward and launch your product.
Nice. What if the REACH trial fails? You know, to play the devil's advocate, let's look at quickly the negative side here. Something goes sideways, doesn't go according to what Fulcrum wants or what we all want. What does that look like?
Yeah, clinical trials are tricky, and there are a lot of failures out there. We're feeling pretty confident that we've powered the study adequately to show an effect. So if the drug does work, we feel we powered it enough with 230 patients. Actually, 260 was a full enrolled number of patients. So we actually went over that 230. We feel that it's powered such that if there's going to be an effect, we're going to see it. So we're actually planning for success, but obviously knowing that things can happen. But for us right now, our focus on let's complete this trial, get these patients fully through this process, and then get to the end of the next year and get that data. But we're optimistic, we powered correctly, we've had great participation from the community. The sites have done a phenomenal job of bringing patients through the process into the trial. So we feel, pretty excited about the potential of next year.
Project Mercury, you're very heavily involved with that. Why did Fulcrum join the Project Mercury Global Task Force?
It's responsibility, Tim. We've been involved and engaged with the community since our founding. We were founded 7 years ago. And from that point on, when Robert Gould, our founding CEO, started to engage with Mark Stone and others, we've had this sort of symbiotic relationship with the community. And when the opportunity came up to really address some of the challenges that the community will eventually face once a drug is available, Project Mercury was the perfect answer. A lot of trials do fail. And there are many reasons why trials fail. It can be bad study protocol. It can be the patients don't show up. It can be a host of different reasons why trials fail. Endpoints are wrong. You name it. So being able to have an opportunity to work with the community to ensure that the infrastructure, the systems, the processes are in place to ensure that going forward, that trials are set up adequately and we have patients ready to go is so important. Another thing that made Project Mercury so important for us to join is that we recognize, so does the society, that regulatory approval does not necessarily equate to access.
Right.
Making sure that the access is there once the programs are through the clinical development process and are available to be launched, that the access is such that patients can gain these products and be able to actually use them. And that's a big part of Project Mercury, is making sure the community is ready for the first innovation. So for me, personally speaking, that's something that keeps me up at nighttime, is making sure that we're doing everything possible to ensure that once the drug is available to patients in the future, that they are equipped with the skills, the tools, the necessary understanding of the systems to be able to gain access to the therapy. And then last but not least, I would say a big reason for Project Mercury and us getting involved is that the vision that the society has had to understand that a lack of engagement and collaboration between patients and key stakeholders is a reason why a lot of drugs ultimately fail. They may get over the finish line of the PDUFA date, but they don't have the infrastructure, no collaboration, to make sure everyone's working in concert. And Project Mercury is specifically designed to make sure that we have 10,000 plus patients ready to be enrolled in clinical trials. You have the infrastructure in place as well to ensure that patients have a place to go. So all the sites all over the globe. And last but not least, that the people on the ground in the United States, all across Europe, and Japan are truly ready to gain access to the therapy, and they have the skill sets, the tools, the know-how, the knowledge, the relationships, all that's important. So all the stakeholders that are involved, whether it be the industry, the clinicians, the medical team, the advocates, the patients, the epidemiologists, all the people are coming together as a part of Project Mercury to ensure success. And I think that's the reason why we got involved as a global sustainable sponsor. We feel that we wanted to be leading the way with this. We jumped in first, and it was the best decision of our entire career so far.
Wow, that's a lot said, and that's in turn, of course, how it helps the patients all the way to the point of getting the product, like you said, into their hands. Just to develop it is one part, kept you up at night. I heard you say, if it's not in the patient's hands, how have you been sleeping since the, you know, big milestone was hit, having, you know, patients, being filled? You said, how many was it? 100, two, no, two, 260, you said, yeah, right?
Well, to me, about 260 patients were enrolled. Yep.
So did you sleep a little better that night?
I did. I did. I slept a little better for that one night. and then after that, you know, the nurse started giving. No, we're a great clinical operations team. They work tirelessly, and they're really all about making sure that the trial style study protocol and the overall processes that are in place are fully executed in the right way. So we feel confident. It's just a matter of now getting to the end of, you know, Q3 next year, and hopefully get that data and then be able to clean it up and then be able to share with the community is what we're all working towards. So until that day comes, I may have some sleepless nights, but I think I'll be okay. I think I'll be fine.
Yeah, good, good, good. Because we need you sharp, Mel. We need you sharp, helping everybody, you know, keep the ship going the right direction. I love it. Well, thanks, Mel, for joining us on this quick Hot Off the Press episode, bringing it to you each month and letting everybody know what's going on, live, local, late breaking, so to speak, speaking in those news terms, and give it to you quick in, out. Any other Hot Off the Press episodes that you missed, or our other community profile episodes, visit us at fshdsociety.org, or where you find your podcast. Where I find mine is on Spotify. We are there as well. Thanks again, Mel. Appreciate your hard work. I'll let you get back to it. Thanks for your time.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Evening.